السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. صدق الله العظيم. درفشانی نے تیری قطروں کو دریا کر دیا، درفشانی نے تیری قطروں کو دریا کر دیا، قلب کو روشن کر دیا، آنکھوں کو بینا کر دیا. جو نہ تھے خود راہ پر اوروں کے ہادی بن گئے، جو نہ تھے راہ پر اوروں کے ہادی بن گئے، کیا نظر تھی کہ مردوں کو مسیحا کر دیا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. گر نہ صلی علی ہو زباں پر، کیا اثر ہوگا آہ و فغاں میں. گر نہ صلی علی ہو زباں پر، کیا اثر ہوگا آہ و فغاں میں. شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے، شرط توحید کامل یہی ہے، آپ کا عشق ہو قلب و جان میں. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. علماء کرام، respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa. First of all, it is extremely important, as I always state it in such functions, that our aqeedah must be right and correct. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born in Makkatul Mukarrama. He spent 53 years of his life in Makkatul Mukarrama and then the 10 years in Madina Tayyiba. But nowhere will we find in any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it is Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, all the authentic books of hadiths, nowhere will we find a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that the Sahaba Ikiram gathered on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal to celebrate the birth of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. We will not find it. And that is the truth. We have to acknowledge the truth. The Sahaba Ikiram Ridwanullah alayhi majma'in, who could have had more love for Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam than them? We have a sahabi who hears or gets the news that Rasul Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. He raises his eyes towards the heavens and he says, "Ya Allah, these eyes of mine which have been seeing the Mubarak face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they do not deserve to see anything more now after the passing away of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So therefore take away my life." Now, which person amongst us today would have made such a dua? Take away my sight. He made dua, O Allah, take away my sight. Allah Ta'ala accepted his dua and we became blind. Now, which one of us today would have made such a dua? So many incidents in the life of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's companions, we can't even imagine what kind of love they had. But despite their love for Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will not find any hadith, as I mentioned, about a special gathering on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. If we have this fact clear in our minds, then there will be no problem in our getting together and listening to the life or some incidents in the life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because then we will not criticize someone who is not attending such a function, and we will not point fingers at those trustees of some masjids where they do not organize such functions. Because in the first place, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's date of birth, there is a difference of opinion which is coming down over the 1400 years. It's not a recent difference of opinion. So this gathering which is taking place here is because it is traditional that people do come from far and wide and they listen to something about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So to pass on the message of deen and to give the correct information, we do not adopt a very hard and fast attitude. But this is the truth, that their love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in their hearts. And in their lives, they demonstrated that love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were not like us that we get together on some particular night. We sing the praises of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after that, if we have to look at our lives, then there is no sign of that muhabbat and of that love which we have proclaimed. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us true love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Brothers, Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not a reformer. We are sometimes misled by these words that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a reformer. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a guide. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a prophet. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because there are no words in the English language, we will not find the appropriate word to translate that he was the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. A word which will give us the exact meaning, we will not find. So therefore we use these words, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was a guide to the Ummah, he was a reformer. But in reality, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The reason why I'm mentioning is this is that when we see somebody guiding or somebody reforming, irrespective of which religious faith they belong to, then we say that this person is a reformer, this person is a guide. Now those same terms have been used now for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we will not understand the true difference. Whereas the difference is this, that a messenger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, a Rasul, is one whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala himself chooses. Allah Ta'ala chooses his Rasul and then sends him with the message for the man, for mankind. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then assists him and helps him. All the prophets were chosen by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It was not that they made an effort. They saw the conditions of the community, that the people were indulging in a lot of sins and vices. So therefore they started some process of reform, and a large number of people changed their lives, so they became were prophets. It was not that. They were chosen to go to a community and then convey the message of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They were the messengers of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore, whatever a Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, he says with conviction. There is no such thing as changes in his views. A Nabi does not say one thing today and then he says, no, I made a mistake. My view has now changed. As our scientists, every day they change their views. First, they used to say that for those who've got cholesterol, they must have only one egg a week. After that, they said twice a week is okay too. But you must have only the albumin and not the yolk. Then they made more changes, and I read whilst I was traveling in one of the newspapers that even one a day is okay. So in everything there's changes. At one time, the Hakims and the doctors, and they used to say that as far as the apple is concerned, so all the vitamins are in the core in the apple itself, therefore you should eat the apple but take the peel off. Afterwards they made some research and then they said all the vitamins are in the peel. So therefore you must eat the peel with the apple. Say, very soon they will make a research and tell us that no, you must throw the apple away, eat only the peels. So they change because it is experience. As they are researching, they get new experience. Therefore all the medication is based on experience of the physician. And it keeps on changing. But look at Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he said something, how much of conviction there was. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person came to him and said that my brother, he has got diarrhea. Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, give him honey. He came back again and said, his diarrhea is still continuing. He said, give him honey again. The third time he came, he said, give him honey again. Now if it had been one of our physicians, one of our hakims or tabibs, then he would have changed the prescription. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, give him again. And the fourth time he said, alhamdulillah, he has come right. He said, sadaqallah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said the truth. But your brother's stomach was lying. The lie was in your brother's stomach. Now that was his conviction, because whatever he said, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. So a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever he says, it is with conviction and with firm belief. There is no such thing as any kind of doubt or hesitation. Or there is no such thing that there will be a new research and after that it will overrule whatever the Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has said. In fact, at present there are so many people who are now researching the sunnats of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they are now coming up with those same facts which Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned more than 1400 years ago. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he said, everything is the truth and nothing but the truth. Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when it came to Hudaybiyah, then when they started agreeing on the terms, those terms were all one-sided. There is no time to go into all details, but all one-sided. First of all, when they started writing down the agreement, they said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So Suhail, who was from the side of the Kuffar, he said, no, this ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we don't know. Just put Bismillah. When they said, from Muhammadur Rasulullah, they said, take only Muhammad, no Rasulullah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody comes from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Tayyibah, he will have to be returned to Makkah Mukarrama. But if anyone comes from Madina Sharif to Makkah Mukarrama, we are not going to return him. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is accepting all those terms and conditions. And afterwards when some sahabi said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, are we not on haq? He said, indeed we are. Are you not the messenger of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? He said, indeed I am. He said, then why should we accept these kind of terms? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam recited the verse of the Quran Sharif, Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina. So he declared this to be an open victory. Now whoever would have imagined that this is a victory? Accepting all these type of terms which are outwardly humiliating, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said it is victory. And indeed it proved to be a victory for the Muslims. Because in the 2 years that they had, Hazrat Khalid bin Walid and so many others came into the fold of Islam. They had a chance to understand what Islam is all about. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not just an ordinary reformer. Whatever he came to this world with, it was from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah ta'ala says that in his life, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, you have an ideal example. Uswa hasana you have. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, from any angle that you have to look at his life, there is nothing but beauty in his life. Nothing but beauty and perfection. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he sent Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam first and Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam as the last and the final messenger. But the nur of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was created long before Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam too was created. In other words, everything that was created after that, the lawh, the qalam, the arsh, the kursi, everything was created with the nur of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But he was sent as the last and the final messenger because we all know that if a child is born, then the child does not wear the same shoes and the same garment when it is born. The same thing it doesn't wear after 1 year of age. When the child becomes 1 year of age, then you buy this garment that fits that size of that child. When he becomes 5 years of age, then again you change the shoes, you change everything according to the requirement of the child. Comes 14, 15, until he reaches a stage where we say that now this child is not going to grow anymore, the feet are not going to grow anymore, the hands are not going to grow anymore. Now he has reached a size which will be fixed now for the rest of his life. So that is how we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it was early times, Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam's time, the Shariat also was according to that time. All the Nabis that came, the Shariat was according to the requirements of that time. It was not that it was imperfect Sharia, but it's just that it was in accordance with the requirements of the people of that time. But when Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, because he was going to be for mankind up till the day of Qiyamah, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him the perfect outfit. He gave him the perfect Sharia, the complete deen. Afterwards there was no requirement or need for any new Nabi to come. The needs of the time, the ulama of the ummah, they will deduce from the Quran and from the Sunnah, and we will find a solution to every problem of mankind. If we look into the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there is a solution to every problem, but we have to look very deeply into it and we will find the solution. Whatever the problem may be, we must not say that new things are coming up, new inventions, modern technology, so how are we going to find a solution in the Quran and the Sunnah? There is a solution. But we have to be looking into it, and we must be prepared to accept whatever the Quran and the Sunnah gives to us. Sometimes it may be against our nafs, but we must be prepared to accept it, but there is a solution. So Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he says in the Holy Quran Sharif that it is a great gift of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ظَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. It is a great favor of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon the believers. Allah ta'ala describes it as a great favor that he sent for them a prophet, a messenger from amongst themselves. And he gave him four functions or four duties. One was that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is to recite the verses of the Quran Sharif. He is to purify them, he is to make tazkiyah of their qulub. This tazkiyah of the qulub was also a function, it was a duty of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That they were not only just told to read the Quran Sharif, to recite the verses, just to by heart it and become hafizes of the Quran Sharif, no. Also there was tazkiyah of the qulub. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, and he even taught them the kitab. He teaches them the kitab. This book of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was not just given to them and said, right, you read and make amal on it. He explained to them the verses of the Quran Sharif. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam also taught them the wisdom of the hikmah. That is his sunnats. So Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was given to him. Allah ta'ala says there's a great ihsan on the believers. Now how many of us, as I mentioned in my Jummah talk, do we really consider this as a great ihsan of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala upon us, that he caused us to be born in the ummah of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who was concerned about the ummah every way, even in his last moments of life, his concern was the ummah. Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha once asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where will we meet you on the day of Qiyamah? His beloved wife, but she too knows that this husband of mine, who is a messenger of Allah, is concerned so much about the ummah, that on the day of Qiyamah, where will I meet him? Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was told that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will soon give you so much that you will become pleased, so he asked Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that what will he give? When Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala informed him via Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam that it is forgiveness of the ummah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said he is not going to go into Jannat until, and he will not be happy until the last ummati is not freed from the fire of Jahannam. So much of concern. We would have said that let me go away first. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Hazrat Aisha asked him this question, He said, "Oh Aisha, three places where nobody will really think of anybody, but you will find me there." He said, "By the mizan, where the weight, where the scale, the deeds will be weighed." Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam on one occasion said that no Nabi has been troubled as much as I have been troubled. So this raises a question, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that no Nabi has been troubled as much as I have been troubled. So it raises a question that Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, 950 years he made tabligh, how much he must have been troubled. They used to beat him up, they used to wrap him in a chatai and then put smoke, and they used to go and throw him out. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's life. So Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, for so long he was troubled by the people. Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, all these Nabis were troubled. Then how does Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, whereas his nubuwat, or he was amongst, after receiving the crown of nubuwat, he was with the people for about 23 years. But he says that I have been troubled the most. So the reason that has been given for that is that that your trouble is based on the amount of affection that you have for the person. That sometimes a person's affection is so much that even if it's a little pain, but this person is troubled. Now here Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had so much of affection for the ummah. So much of affection. That he went to the extremes to see to it that every person gets saved from the fire of Jahannam and goes into Jannat. And therefore this will also be witnessed on the day of Qiyamah, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be at the scale. So sometimes on one side, say, where the good deeds are being weighed, so namaz will be put there, zakat, sadaqat, charity, kindness, whatever good deeds the person has done, hajj, umrah. But at the same time, on the other side, they will be thrown all his bad deeds, his adultery, his fornication, his stealing, his gambling, his fraud, his lies, his false promises. Now, so Rasul-e Pak, it is mentioned that he will be looking at one time this side, one time that side, one time this side, one time, to see that the ummati scale of good deeds must overweigh the scale of bad deeds. So much of affection that nobody must go into Jahannam. And then he's sefarish for them. So he says, that is one place that you'll find. Otherwise, where that Na'amaya Amal, the book of deeds, will be given. So you find me there. Or you'll find me by Pul Sirat, where the people will be falling into Jahannam. So much of affection for the ummah. So Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent him, not just to give us some information about the akhirat, about Allah, and about deen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a whole way of life, a perfect balanced code of life. Very, very balanced. There's no extremism at all. There is enjoyment in it, there is entertainment in it, there is happiness in it, there is comfort in it, there is everything in it. And at the same time, there is ibadat in it, there is zikr in it, there's tilawat in it, there's jihad in it. There's so many, everything is balanced. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi married, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam traveled, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam ate, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam wore clothes. In everything there is an example in the life of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. For the rich and the poor, this is one misunderstanding that I always try to clear, which gets into our heads, that it is impossible to follow Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam in these modern days. He never traveled in aeroplanes, he didn't travel in Concords and jets. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't travel in good cars. He didn't live in the type of homes that we lived. He didn't eat the type of food that we ate. He didn't wear the type of clothes that we are wearing. So if you have to look in the life of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a very balanced sharia. A sharia in which it accommodates all kinds of people. If all of us were forced, or if it were obliged, or if it was necessary or farz, to live the life of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam exactly as he lived, then all of us would have said it is very difficult, and salam to Islam, na'uzubillah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us the sharia. Now in the Sharia there's inheritance laws. Why should there be inheritance laws if a person is not allowed to keep anything, as he didn't keep anything? There's zakat laws. Why should there be zakat laws if Nabi Ali, if it was not permissible for any person to keep more than what is necessary for him? Now all these things show that for the rich, for the poor, for everyone there is a Sharia. Now that Sharia, it is easy to follow, it is practical, it is for all times and for all ages. So Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as his birth is concerned, there is absolutely no difference of opinion that Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam did come into this world and he was given the prophethood. I'm talking about the Muslims and the believers, all of us believe that. That Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam was sent as the final messenger. So instead of talking and discussing, as happens generally in these type of gatherings in Rabiul Awwal, that the whole time is spent on the features of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the birth of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or what happened prior to his birth, or what happened at the time of his birth. Now these things, there is no doubt that they are great ibadat. To discuss any aspect of Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam's life is ibadat. To talk about his hair mubarak is ibadat. To talk about his face is ibadat. To talk about his hands is ibadat. To talk about his feet is ibadat. There is no doubt. To talk about his birth is ibadat. But the description that is given sometimes of his birth, many people then forget that they have to have adab of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mother. They go to the extremes where they give an explicit description of how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was born. And then that is the time they say, now he has come into this world. So we forget that it is khilaf-e adab. If somebody has to talk about our mother like that, would we be happy? Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every aspect of his life to discuss is no doubt ibadat. But if we are going to spend all our time in discussing just that, and not the message which he has given to us, then we will not be doing justice. The seerah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is for us to make amal on. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as I mentioned, that it was his noor which was created first. So this noor that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created first, it was of the same noor that everything was created afterwards. Now you have heard many times from me, agar Muhammad na hote to kuch bhi na hota, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now listen to another one. In which the poet says, gar ardo sama ke mehfil me laula kalama ka shor na ho. Gar ardo sama ki mehfil me laula kalama ka shor na ho. Ye rang na ho gulzaro me, ye noor na ho sayyaro me. Again meaning the same thing, that if it had not been for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam coming into this world, laula kalama, then we would not have found the colors in all these flowers, these beautiful gardens and all the things that we are seeing. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would not have created anything. And even all these stars, there would have been no light. There would have been complete darkness. Everything has derived its noor from the noor of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything has derived its noor from the noor of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Outwardly it seems as if the moon is lighting up the night, but we know that the light of the moon is actually the light of the sun. It is deriving its light from the sun. So in the same way, everything Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made it light up with the noor of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is important for us to understand that what was the message of Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, we know that he came amongst those people who were steeped in sins, drinking, gambling, murdering, fornication, adultery, burying daughters alive. What sin they were not committing? Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came amongst them and he gave them some message which changed their whole lives. It brought about such a change that that same Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was beating up his sister when she was reading the Quran Sharif, but then that same Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he rules over more than 2/3 of the then known world. And look at his akhlaq, and look at his character, and look at his sifats. Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, so many other people who at one time enemies of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but when they accepted Islam, look at the changes that came in their lives. So if we have to discuss Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, it is impossible. From now until Qiyamah, if we have to talk about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we will not be able to do justice. How can we do justice? As Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he has mentioned that no matter whoever describes Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at the end of it, he has to say that there was no one created like him on this earth. There was nobody perfect like him. There was nobody blessed with so much as Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with. Because it is, as Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقَتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. That you have been created pure from all defects and weakness. There is absolutely no defect. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. Each and every other person Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala created him as he desired. But Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it seems that Allah ta'ala created you as you desired. That means you chose what you wanted to look like. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got his hikmat, that throughout the world we find people of different colors, different shapes, different heights, different build, different ears, nose, eyes. That is the hikmat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, because if he created us all as it is, what we keep saying, equality, equality. So if there was equality, that everybody was created the same, same face, same nose, same eyes, same ears, same height, same everything, how would we have differentiated? If we say, go and call this person, that person would have called 1 million of the same kind. You would have found it so difficult to find who that person is. It is Allah Ta'ala's wisdom and hikmat. It is his qudrat. But Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Ta'ala chose for him everything perfect. There was no weakness of any kind. How happy we should be that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave us a Nabi who was perfect in his features also, in his akhlaq, in his muamalat, in his dealings, in his transactions, in his social life, in his political life, in everything you will find perfection. As Hazrat Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah has given one example, but just to give you it in a simple way, that if you want to understand Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says it's impossible, we can't really explain. But to simply explain it, it is that you must imagine a very, very big palace with plenty of rooms there, big, big rooms, massive, which can accommodate hundreds of thousands of people. You just have to imagine. Imagination is such a thing that you can use it for good purposes and also for bad purposes. So why not let us use it for the good purpose and get sawab over it? It just reminded me that my brother reminded me just before the program, he says, Molna, if you can mention that what you spoke about those flights. So it just happened. I said, I don't plan anything. If it comes away, well and good. So since we're talking about imagination, I was saying that in Madina Sharif, many of us, we go there, and then we do not know how to get inspired. We look at the Rosa of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we just stare at it and we stay blank. But if we have to use our imagination a bit, then see the inspiration that it gives to you. Said, I was sitting there outside the Haram, looking at the green dome, because the Haram Sharif was about to close. Looking at the green dome, staring at it, and lost in certain thoughts, when a person passed by and he made salam loudly. So that distracted me, and then I said, Walaikum Salaam. He said, Molna, what are you staring? What are you looking? So I said, I'm looking at the flights that are coming in from different parts of the world. So he said, which flights are coming in here? He said, there's no airport here, and the aeroplanes don't go past here. Which one? Which flight are you talking about? I said, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَلَائِكَةً سَيَّاحِينَ يُبَلِّغُونِ عَنْ أُمَّتِيَ السَّلَامِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامِ. That Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has got angels who roam about the earth, and their duty and their function is that they convey to me the salam of the ummah. Whoever reads salam anywhere, Durood Sharif and salam anywhere you read, Allah Ta'ala has these angels, they carry it and convey it to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Read Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Now the moment we read this, within seconds it has been conveyed to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I said, we believe in it. It is our yaqeen. If Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam has mentioned that, it is the truth and nothing but the truth. So I am looking at those flights, that they are coming in from all parts of the world. Somebody has read Durood Sharif in America, somebody has read in China, somebody has read in Germany, somebody has read in India or Pakistan, or somebody in South Africa, like we read just now here. So it is being conveyed to Rasulullah Sallallahu within seconds. And these angels are carrying it. I say, although we don't see them with our eyes, but we believe that there is that connection. So now if you are looking at it with that imagination, just imagine the inspiration that you get. And say, if you can't understand it, then if there are millions of people all over the world, and they've got their family members who have come to Madinah Sharif, and say the family members, each and every one has got a cell phone in his pocket here, and those people are phoning them on the cell. So they will phone from there, within 3 or 4 seconds the person will get connected. The better the equipment, the faster he will get connected. So he will make from South Africa, Assalamu alaikum, and we will say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Now how long did it take from South Africa that salam to come to Madinah Sharif? I say, we believe in that. Then on the cell phone, how long did that person salam take to come to Madinah Sharif? He made Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah that side, and within seconds we replied, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. So if we can believe in that, then can't we believe that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if there is some wireless connections that we talk about here, and we say there is an infrastructure, so Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala doesn't have an infrastructure to carry this type of salam to Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's flights coming in from all sides. Imagine the millions of angels that must be surrounding the dome of Rasulullah Park sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much of noor and how much of rahmat and how much of barakat there must be that is descending there. As if I said, like it's a waterfall, that from the height when the water falls and there's a volume of water, then the harder it falls onto the ground, the more distance the spray and the splash goes. So this noor and this barakat and this rahmat, how much is pouring there, how much is pouring there. It's a pity that even there, the only attraction for us is the supermarkets and the bazaars, and the gold and the silver. I'm not saying that it is haram and najais, you can go and buy whatever you want for the family members, but what I'm saying is that we don't go there for that purpose, to waste our time. That is where we go and absorb that noor into our hearts. It is there where that waters of rahmat which are falling and of maghfirat which are descending, then we wash our hearts in there and we return with a purified heart. So I think what was I discussing? So yes, Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali had given an example, and that is where we switched over. So he says, imagine, yes, we are talking about imagination, that imagine that there are massive, massive rooms. Now in one massive room, who is sitting there? The king who is ruling over the whole world, king of the kings of the world. And all the kings of the world are coming to him, and they are asking him, how must we rule? What must we do? What laws must we implement? I'm talking about good Muslim rulers. Those we had some of them in history of Islam. That they were kings, but they were waliullahs. They were kings. They lived in palaces, but they were walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Some of them, their tahajjud never became qaza. So all the kings of the world, they are coming there and asking him direction, guidance. And Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving them guidance. So that Rasul of Allah is guiding the kings. Then the judges and the rulers, those who are implementing those laws, all the qazis, they are all coming. There's another room that's filled with them. And Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam is teaching them and guiding them. Again, that same Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, imagine there's another room in which the great mufassireen and the great muhaddiseen, and the great mashayikh, they are all teaching hadith, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif. They all are gathered there. Right from his time up till now, each and every one that is a muhaddis or the person who is teaching tafsir or hadith, they are there. Now they too are taking the cue from Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This hadith, what did Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam say? What tafsir did Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam give of this verse? So it is as if they are again all his students there. Then when it comes to the mashayikh, those who are making tazkiyah of the qulub, that we must purify our hearts from pride, from anger, from greed, from lust, from malice, from envy, from jealousy. So there's a big massive room of all the mashayikh now. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam is teaching them how to make tazkiyah of the qulub. Then there's business people, millions of business people. Now Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam is instructing them in business. What are the rules of business? How should you conduct your business? What is halal, what is haram? What are the dangers and the harm of taking interest and giving interest? Now here again it's the same Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala that is teaching. Then again you picture another room, there's a massive, massive room. And there all the children are coming. The children are asking that same Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, what are our rights, Ya Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And the Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is giving the children their rights. Women are coming, he's giving the women what their rights are. How they should behave as wives, as mothers, as sisters, as daughters. Then the husbands are coming, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving them that as husbands how you should behave, how you should deal with the family, your akhlaq, your character, what should it be, how much of tolerance and patience you must have, how much of compassion and love and affection you must have. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching the husbands. Then again if you look at it, there are the generals of the armies are coming. They again you find the same Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is a general, is teaching the generals that in the army how you should lead the army. That general of the battle of Badr and the battle of Uhud and the battle of Khandaq, and he who led the army for the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, now he is directing and guiding the Muslim generals that this is how you should lead the armies. What should be your behavior? How during the day you should be then when the soldiers are coming, so he's guiding them that how, what kind of soldiers they should be. What should be the akhlaq of even the soldier in the Muslim army? Should his akhlaq be like those which we hear of the soldiers of today? Raping, looting, murdering, killing. What kind of soldiers they should be? So it is again that same Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala who is giving direction to them. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in other words, different people from different walks of life, in whichever walk of life they may be, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam's deen has got a direction in life for them. No one can say that I do not know what to do. I am a Muslim but I do not know how to lead my life. But of course it will take time. We have to study all these things, and it is not possible in 1 hour's program to give you the whole history of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that what were the teachings of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. But if we have to just take, for example, Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, imagine now there's another room. He says there's another room in which all those people are coming who have been afflicted with injustice, or injustice has been done to them. They have been hurt, their feelings have been hurt, their property has been damaged, they have been sworn at, they have been laughed at, they have been mocked at and teased. Now they are all coming. So that same Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, who in that one room was talking about justice, that the person has the right to demand fairness and equity. Now here that same Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, another group now, he is telling them that look at my life, what I went through and what was my reaction. There was no doubt that those people who were afflicted, they had the right, they could go to court and ask for justice, but not the courts of today which are jungles. You do not know where you can be devoured. I'm talking about the courts where real justice was meted out. So he has the right, but now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is telling them that if you have to forgive, if you have to overlook, then this is what you will get in the hereafter. This is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless you with. Now look at Rasul-e-Pak's life in that line. How much he had been hurt. And when it comes to this word hurt, then it reminds me of this ayat of the Quran Sharif in which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Again it's Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that Rasul has come to you, indeed a messenger of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that means Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He has come to you from amongst yourselves. That means Allah Ta'ala made him a human being and sent him to you. That's an ihsan of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Because the qualities of Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are such that no angel can match those qualities. But only if Allah Ta'ala had sent him as an angel on this earth, then all of us would have found a very, very good excuse for disobedience, to say that he was an angel and we are human beings. So how can human beings follow an angel? So therefore Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala sent him as a human being who had the same feelings that any human being has. But he was not like ordinary human beings. His hands were not, outwardly they were the same hands of flesh and bones. But I mentioned many times in Sirat Bayans that his hand, water gushed from that hand. When there was no water in one battle, there's no time to go into details. When there was no water in one battle, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked them to bring whatever little few droplets that they had in their bags. And in that, he put his, in that pot, he put his fingers. And they say so much of water gushed from his fingers that 1400 people drank that water. And he says that even if there were thousands of more people, they would have also had sufficient water. Now what kind of water that must have been which was gushing forth from the fingers of Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So outwardly it was of flesh and bones, but it was different from our hands. Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his hand to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala made it full of mu'jizat. We also have a shahadat finger, and Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a shahadat finger. But our shahadat finger, we cannot do anything with it, we can only point. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he did the same thing, pointed it to the moon, it split the moon into two. And these are not fairy tales, there are thousands of people who were witnesses to all these incidents. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, his eyes, he says, I see in front of me and I see behind me too. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have to go into details of each and every part of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's body, it was full of mu'jizats. Full of miracles. But outwardly it was a human body, flesh and bones. When he was stoned in Taif, he bled. He felt the pain. When he was stoned in Uhud, he fell down unconscious. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam tied stones to his belly when he was hungry and they were digging the trench. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he suffered like any other human being suffers. So that was to give us a lesson and an example for us, that it is possible for you to follow Rasul-e-Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, now the people are coming to him. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. That means he was sent as a human being amongst you. But the distinguishing feature of his life was this, that whatever caused you hurt or injury or pain or inconvenience, anything that will cause you any kind of problem, it is very, very hard on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now what kind of affection that must be that he has for us? That anything that will cause us any kind of problem in our life, it is difficult for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Harisun alaykum ay ala imanikum. He is very much desirous of your iman. One of the meanings of haris is also greed. But if we have to use that meaning also, it will be correct here. That this greed was not for a person's wealth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not befriend Hazrat Abu Bakr for his wealth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not marry Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha for her wealth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have his eyes on the wealth of anyone. That is a different thing, that they considered it their pleasure and their honor to give to Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam for the service of his deen or for him. But he had no such intention. He was not greedy for their wealth or property or anything of that nature. He was greedy for their iman. He wanted each and every one to have iman, solid iman. Wa salahi shanikum, that each and every situation of this person must be correct. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, ardently desirous over you. But the main point is that it hurts him. Whatever he gave us as Sharia and as of Islam, it is for our good, for our benefit. Otherwise it was not going to benefit him in any way. If only we can understand this, then we will not cause him hurt and injury. At present we do not know how much of hurt and injury we are causing him by our sins and our vices and our evil. That Nabi of Allah Ta'ala who cried for us every way, who was stoned for the sake of the Ummah, who stood whole night in prayer for the sake of the Ummah until his feet swelled. That Nabi who is worried about the Ummah even during his last moments of life. That Nabi who is going through all kinds of trials and difficulties. And then even on Qiyamah day, he's going to be here, he's going to be there, he's going to be there to make sifarish and intercession for the Ummah. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, after the ayat, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ. This is one amal which Allah Ta'ala says he also does. He also sends salat and salam on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he wants and his angels also send salat and salam, and he wants the ummah also of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to send salat and salam on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Not because it will help Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way, but because this person who is reading will get 10 blessings, he will get 10 rahmat, he will get elevation of status, forgiveness of sins, his depression will go, Allah Ta'ala will give him barakat in his risk and sustenance, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will remove his difficulties, his calamities, his problems. So many things will happen when this person will sincerely read Durood Sharif in abundance for the pleasure of Allah. Because we cannot do justice to the ihsan of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so we say, Allahumma salli, oh Allah, you send durood on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So what I was saying is that after that ayat, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُوزُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, those people who hurt Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, those who cause hurt to Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, then لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, Allah ta'ala's curse on them in this world and in the akhirah. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا وَعَذَابًا مُهِينًا, and Allah Ta'ala has prepared for them an azab which is very very humiliating and disgraceful. Now if the person is under the curse of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how can he have a life that is full of peace and happiness and contentment? Now what is that hurt and injury? Now we are not like the kuffar and the mushrikeen of his time, that was different. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we are his ummati. Now if a father has children and those children are disobedient, and then afterwards the father hears that this son of mine, whom I expected to be very pious, very good, very righteous, because the ummati of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that is what is expected. And then the father is informed that your son was seen with a prostitute. Your son was seen in a gambling den. Now the father, if he is righteous and pious, and he hears that his son was seen there, or your daughter was seen here and seen there, then what kind of injury and pain it causes? If we can understand that, then we will understand what kind of injury and pain we are causing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when we are indulging in fornication and in adultery and in watching all those filthy movies and reading those porn literature and porn and entertaining ourselves with the filth that is being dished out on the internet websites, some of them. Then we will understand what kind of injury we are causing to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That he is informed according to the hadith on Mondays and Thursdays of the condition of his ummah. Now imagine when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is told that so and so, the son of so and so, this is his condition. So if we want Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's du'as and his intercession, and if we want the rahmat and the barakat of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then there is no way that we can justify any kind of sins and evil in our life, because it is going to cause injury and pain to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Allah Ta'ala says, if you're going to cause hurt and injury to Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can't cause to Allah Ta'ala, but He's equating it with that, then Allah Ta'ala's curse upon such people. So in these times and these occasions, this is what it is all about, to make sincere tawbah from all our sins. and to pledge that inshallah we'll make every effort to follow the teachings of Rasulullah, which are very beautiful, simple and easy. I'm not talking about those people who give it to us in extremes. I'm talking about simple, balanced, practical life. Nothing on the extremes. A normal person's life the person will lead. Only thing he will find peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction because he's obeying Allah and his Rasulullah. There won't be that restlessness. His life won't be filled with anxieties and worries and all kinds of problems. The normal problems of the day every person faces. But inside his heart, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give him sukoon, peace and happiness. Now we can give you many, many incidents now of that, what I was talking about, that one where these people are coming who are afflicted or those who are harmed or injustice has to be done to them. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, how much of forgiveness. Forgiveness flowed like the ocean from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They were his arch enemies, but how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dealt with them. Ikrama bin Abi Jahl, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forgave him. Wahshi, who had martyred Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam forgave him. Those people who stoned him, I will conclude just on one incident that is sufficient to understand. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had not yet accepted Islam, uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab, we know that they were enemies of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam also, although he was his uncle. Abu Lahab used to go behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anywhere Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to give some message, he used to throw stones at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used to tell the people, don't listen to him, he's a madman, don't listen to him. He's mad, he's a magician, he's this, he's that, don't listen to him. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam presented some deen to Abu Jahl in the Haram Sharif. So Abu Jahl beat up Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and hit him such a way on his head that he even cracked a bit of his skull. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam bled profusely. Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his mates had to see what was happening. So she reported to Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he returned that this is what I saw them doing to your nephew. So Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that time, although he had not accepted Islam, but it was his nephew. So he went to the Haram Sharif and he got hold of Abu Jahl and he beat him up. When he came back, then he informed Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He said, don't worry my nephew, Abu Jahl, I beat him up. Why did he hit you? Now, although he was not yet a Muslim, but he said, this is what I beat him up for. So you must not worry. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, if one of us had to be in his place, we would have said, mashallah, you did a nice thing, you took revenge on my behalf. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, dear uncle, your beating him up didn't make me happy. I would be happy if you accept Islam. If you read the kalima, that will make me happy. Just going and beating him up didn't make me happy. So Zamza said, well then, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. And he accepted Islam. That means Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't take revenge for his personal self. That was his life. Forgive. These days we can't, even the children are not prepared to forgive the parents. They say, we just can't forgive I can't forgive my father for what he has done to me. I can't forgive my mother for what she has done to me. I can't forgive my brothers and sisters for what they have done to me. Whatever the problems may be, try and solve it. But this is what we have to learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I can go on whole night with the incidents of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's forgiveness, his generosity, his kindness, his mercy, his sympathy, his ibadat, his tilawat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, if we have to discuss, there is no end to it. Just as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Quran Sharif, no matter how many people have written tafsirs of the Quran Sharif, but still they haven't reached the depths. In the same way, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's life, you can have any amount of books on his seerah, but every person comes up with something new. There's so much. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, I will conclude because most of you must be tired and after a long day. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must give us the tawfiq to understand that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a rahmatul lil alameen, and he's a rahmat for all mankind, for jinn kind, for the animals, for the children, for the adults, for the poor, for the needy, for the weak, for the sick, for the healthy, for the strong. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is a mercy for the wives, for the husbands, for the children, for the parents, for the employers and for the employees. if each and everyone has to study Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings in whichever field he is, and then fulfill the rights of the other person according to the teachings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this world will definitely become Jannat on earth. We will definitely have Jannat here. Akhirat we will get, but we will get Jannat here. At present there is just one Jahannam and Hellfire that we are going through. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect me, protect you and the entire Ummah from all the fitnas and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to bring into our lives. Read Durud Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Oh Allah, forgive our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters. Forgive the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering all over the world. Oh my beloved Allah, how much of injury and pain it must be causing, and how much of grief and sorrow to my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his ummah is suffering in the world. Oh my Allah, bless the ummah with the tawfiq of making amal on the teachings of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we have committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Oh Allah, you have seen everything. You have heard everything. You know everything. There is nothing that is hidden from your sight. There is nothing that is beyond your knowledge. Oh my beloved Allah, it is just your compassion, your kindness, your forgiveness that you do not seize us there and then. Oh Allah, if you had seized us the moment we committed sins, not one of us would have been alive today. Oh my beloved Allah, it is your compassion and your kindness that you do not seize us. Oh Allah, you had every right to seize us because you blessed us with the sight which we use for your disobedience. You blessed us with the hearing which we use for your disobedience. You blessed us with the tongue and with speech which we use for your disobedience. You blessed us with our heart and with our liver and with our lungs all functioning. You blessed us with our hands and with our feet which we use for your disobedience. You blessed us with the wealth which we are using at the casinos and in cinemas and in theaters and in haram places. Oh my beloved Allah, if you had seized us there and then, you were justified. But oh my beloved Allah, how compassionate, how kind, how forgiving, how loving, how caring you are. Oh Allah, therefore we are extending our begging bowls before you. And oh Allah, we are seeking forgiveness from all our sins. Oh Allah, do not seize us. Oh Allah, do not seize us because you do not love to punish. You dearly love forgiveness of the sinners. Ya Allah, when the sinners turn towards you with remorse and with regret, you dearly love to forgive them. Oh my beloved Allah, you are listening to us right now. Oh my Allah, you are not sleeping. Oh my beloved Allah, you are not an idol that does not hear us. Oh Allah, you are listening to us. Oh my Allah, we are extending these begging bowls before you. Ya Allah, we have gone very far from our deen. We have gone very far from the Islam and from Sharia. Oh my beloved Allah, we are indulging in sins day and night. But oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, do not punish us because of our sin. We are ashamed, oh my Allah, for what we have done. Oh Allah, we are ashamed for what our eyes have seen. We are ashamed for what our ears have heard. We are ashamed for what our tongues have spoken. We are ashamed what our hands have touched. We are ashamed where our feet have taken us. Oh my beloved Allah, you love forgiveness, therefore forgive us. Ya Allah, do not snatch away our ni'mats because of our indulgence in disobedience. Oh my beloved Allah, we are turning towards you. You are full of mercy, full of kindness. Oh Allah, open the doors of your maghfirat for us. Open the doors of your rahmat for us. Oh my Allah, open the doors of your rahmat and maghfirat. Let the floodgates of the rahmat and maghfirat open for us. Cause our hearts to be washed, oh Allah, in the rahmat. Oh Allah, cause our hearts to be washed in the rains of forgiveness. Oh my beloved Allah, clean and purify our hearts. Ya Allah, Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made so much of sacrifices for the ummah. Oh Allah, He sacrificed his sleep, he sacrificed his comforts, he sacrificed his whole life for the sake of your deen. Oh my beloved Allah, we have not shown any appreciation for this great gift of yours that you caused us to be born in the ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, if it had not been for your mercy and your kindness to cause us to be born in the ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we do not know in which jungle we would have been lost. We do not know in which church we would have been ringing bells. We do not know in which temple we would have been bowing before idols. Oh Allah, we do not know which communist party we would have belonged to. Oh Allah, we do not know which Marxist organization we would have been members of. Oh Allah, we do not know in which jungle we would have been devoured. Oh my beloved Allah, our intelligence alone could not have saved us. Ey Allah, ye teri rahmat hai azima. Oh Allah, this is your great blessing and your great ni'mat. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq of appreciation of this ni'mat. Oh my beloved Allah, bless each and every one of us with long life. Bless us with good health, oh my beloved Allah. Bless us with long life so that we may be able to accumulate maximum amount of good deeds before we depart. Oh Allah, bless us with good health, spiritual and physical. Ey Allah, hum bimar hai, hume shifa ata farma. Ya Allah, shifa is in your hands. Cure us from all our spiritual ailments and physical ailments. Cure us from all our spiritual and physical ailments. Oh my beloved Allah, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our family members, whosoever in the ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sick and ailing, give him cure. Whether they are in hospitals or in their homes or they amongst us, oh Allah, bless them with complete shifa and complete cure. Oh Allah, we know that sometimes it could be rahmat, but we are extremely weak servants of yours. We cannot bear the rahmat of pain. We cannot bear the rahmat of trials. We cannot bear the rahmat of calamities. We cannot bear the rahmat of sickness and illness. Ya Allah, change that rahmat to the rahmat of good health. Change it to the rahmat of wealth. Change the rahmat of poverty to the rahmat of wealth. Change the rahmat of weakness to the rahmat of strength. Oh Allah, those who are suffering depression, give them happiness and joy. Ya Allah, bless each and every one of us with prosperity and happiness. Fill our hearts with satisfaction. Fill our hearts with contentment. Fill our hearts with zuhd and with taqwa. Ey mere Allah, ey mere pyare Allah, gunah karte karte hum bhi thak gaye. How long are we going to walk on the surface of this earth with pride and with arrogance? How long are we going to sin on the surface of the earth? How long are we going to walk like munafiqs and hypocrites on this earth? Oh Allah, in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the munafiqeen, the yahood, the nasara, they caused immense pain and injury to my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, on Mondays and Thursdays when he is informed of our condition, how much of pain and injury we must be causing to him. Ya Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, do not hold us on account of our sins. Ya Allah, bless us with good health, with prosperity, with happiness. Fill our hearts with zuhd and with taqwa. Fill our hearts with marifat and with yaqeen. Ey Allah, teri marifat naseeb farma, tera yaqeen naseeb farma, teri zaat ke upar tawakkul naseeb farma. Oh Allah, make us the fish that swims deep down in the ocean of marifat. Fill our hearts, oh Allah, with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give us such a bond and such love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it becomes extremely easy to practice upon the sharia. Oh Allah, give us such love and such bond with you that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment. Oh Allah, everywhere we are suffering in the world, Ya Allah, remove the difficulties and the sufferings of the entire ummah. Ya Allah, in Palestine, in Chechnya, in Bosnia, in Kashmir and in other parts of the world, even in Africa and in our country, oh Allah, whatever problems and difficulties the ummah is experiencing, Ya Allah, remove the difficulties and problems. Change the condition from that of adversity to prosperity. Change the conditions of my Allah from that of fear to that of peace and support. Ey Allah, we have become prisoners in our homes. We have become prisoners in our businesses. We have become prisoners in our cars. We have become prisoners, oh Allah, everywhere. Ya Allah, there's no more any peace and any sukoon left in any heart. But oh Allah, everything is in your hands. It is not difficult for you to change our condition. Ya Allah, bless us with sukoon in our hearts. Ya Allah, give us a taste and enjoyment in your ibadat. Ya Allah, let us realize that sins and evil has never brought any person pleasure. It has never brought any person success. It leads to anxieties and worries and restlessness. Ya Allah, take us out from the dens of vice. Take us out from the dens of shaitan. Take us out from the dens of our nafs. And Ya Allah, bring us back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqeem. Ya Allah, Teri Zaat ke saath aisi muhabbat naseeb farma. Rasool-e-Paak swasam ke aisi muhabbat naseeb farma. That it becomes easy to make our namazes, to give our zakat, to fast in Ramadan, to go for Hajj, to stay away from adultery and fornication and fraud and cheating and lies and gambling and all other evil. Ya Allah, Rasool-e-Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he has to come into our homes, if he has to come into our businesses, if he has to come into our lives, oh my beloved Allah, where will we take him? Hey Allah, hum kya dikhayenge? What will we be able to show Rasool-e-Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that for all the sacrifices that you made, this is the appreciation that we have shown in our lives. Oh Allah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam will be so disappointed with us. Ya Allah, but he was rahmatul lil alameen, and you are ghafoorul raheem. Oh Allah, he was kareem and you are kareem. Ya Allah, and we are between the two kareems. Therefore, oh my beloved Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, remove the difficulties and the trials of the entire ummah, especially our brothers and sisters and children in Palestine. Ya Allah, unki madad aur nusrat farma. Ya Allah, Masjid-e-Aqsa ko dobara musalmanon ke qabze mein ata farma. Ya Allah, Yahudi zalim ko ya to tu hidayat de de, ya Aad aur Samud ki tarike se barbaad kar de. Hey, mere Allah, ab kab tak mere pyare Allah gunahon ke andar zindagi guzarenge? Hamare haal par raham farma. Oh Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them cure. Those who are in financial difficulties and problems, bless them with plenty of halal risk and remove their difficulties. Those who have got no children, bless them with righteous children. Oh Allah, those whom you have blessed with children, then they have gone on to drinks and drug and vices and evil. And oh Allah, they have become a curse for the parents. Ya Allah, bring them back onto Sirat-e-Mustaqeem. Make them the coolness of the eyes of the parents. Ya Allah, unite the hearts of the entire ummah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much effort he made to leave the ummah in one piece, one body, one soul. Ya Allah, that ummah is shattered all over. There is no more any unity left, oh my beloved Allah. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of husbands and wives. Unite the hearts of the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, one day we have to leave this world and come to you. We do not know where we are going to die. We do not know when death is going to come. We do not know how it is going to come. Oh Allah, young, fit, healthy youth are leaving this world. Oh Allah, suddenly an accident takes them away. Suddenly a shot takes them away. Oh Allah, suddenly some kind of disaster and thousands of people are swallowed up by the earth. Oh my beloved Allah, thousands and thousands of people are leaving suddenly from this world. We do not know where our death will come and how it will come. Oh Allah, don't let the angel of death find us in a casino. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a disco. Don't let the angel of death visit us in a cinema or a theater. Don't let the angel of death find us glued to some filthy television program. Don't let the angel of death find us with a filthy novel in our hands. Oh my beloved Allah, when our time of death comes, take us away to Madina Tayyibah. Let us be in the land of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, let us be at the roza of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With the salatu was salamu alayka ya Rasulullah on our lips. Oh Allah, let our soul depart at that time. And let our burial be in Jannatul Baqi. Oh Allah, so that when the winds of rahmat blow over, we may be forgiven. But oh Allah, if our death is not muqaddar in Madina Tayyibah, wherever it may be, let it be in a state of iman. Let it be in a state that you are pleased with us. Ey Allah, maut ke waqt teri koi aisi tajalli dikha de ke hamari rooh jhoomti hui tere paas aa jaye. Oh my beloved Allah, my beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all his life he was concerned about the ummat. Ummati, ummati was his concern. Ya Allah, on Qiyamah day too he will say ummati, ummati. But we as ummati are unconcerned about his displeasure. Ey Allah, hame hidayat naseeb farma. Allah, all the duas that he made for the ummat, especially in his Hajjatul Wida. Oh my beloved Allah, what a congregation that was. 124,000 companions, each and every one a shining star, a guiding light. Each and every one of them with a purified heart. Ey Allah, the heaven will never witness another gathering of that nature. Oh my beloved Allah, on that occasion, all the du'as that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made.
after kissing the Hajr Aswad, the duas that he made. Mere pyare Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ne Hajr Aswad ko chum karke jo manga tha. Mere pyare Nabi Alaihi Salatu Wasalam ne Rukne Yamani chu karke jo manga tha. The duas that he made after touching the Rukne Yamani, the duas that he made under the Mizab e Rahmat. O Allah, the tears that he shed in Hatim, the tears that he shed at Multazam, how long he attached himself to Multazam. O my beloved Allah, how much he asked for us. Maqam Ibrahim ke piche jo manga, Zamzam ka pani peekar jo manga, Safa aur Marwa ki seedhiyon par jo manga, Mina Muzdalifa mein jo manga, and especially at Arafat from Zohar till Maghrib. O Allah, all the duas that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made for us, bless us with that goodness. O Allah, we get tired in a few minutes of dua. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, masoom and sinless, is asking from Zohar till Maghrib. And for us, O my beloved Allah, all the duas, all the goodness that he asked for us, bless us with that goodness. Bless our wives and children with that goodness. Our parents with that goodness. The entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief and corruption and fitnas that he asked for protection, O Allah, protect us, protect our parents, our wives and children, our brothers and sisters. O Allah, the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fitnas are pouring, O my Allah. Fitnas from our right, fitnas from our left, fitnas from in front and fitnas from behind. Fitnas pouring from above via the satellites. Hey, mere Allah, hum kidhar jaye? It's even pouring in Makkah and Medina Sharif. Hey Allah, few meters away from the Rosa of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Filthy television programs can be seen on channel television. Oh Allah, music of the world can be heard there. In Makkatul Mukarrama, the same situation. Hey, Vere Allah, when my beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is informed of this situation, how much of pain, how much of grief and sorrow we are causing him. Ya Allah, protect each and every one of us. Protect each and every one of us. Protect the Haramain Sharifain. Protect Masjid-e-Aqsa. Protect our masajid, our madaris. All the works of deen which are taking place, accept them. Ya Allah, tabligh o dawat ki mehnat qabool farma. Ya Allah, khankao ki mehnat qabool farma. Madaris masajid ki mehnat qabool farma. Darul ulum aur madaris ki mehnat qabool farma. Ya Allah, is dunya ko ek din chhod kar tere paas aana hai. Hamara khatima iman ke upar farma. Kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah ke upar khatima farma. Hamari duaon ko Huzur Pak sasam ke sadqe tufail mein qubool farma. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. O Allah, whatever we have asked, accept it. Fulfill our wishes and desires which are in accordance with Sharia. And O Allah, whatever we have not been able to ask, or whatever desires are in the hearts of those who have gathered here, our sisters who have gathered in the madrasa, Ya Allah, fulfill all their good desires. Those parents who are concerned about their children getting right marriage partners in life, Ya Allah, bless their children with suitable partners. Unke liye aasani paida kar de, unko nek aur saleh jod naseeb farma de, unki har pareshani ko to dur farma de. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna 'alan nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli 'ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa 'ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin barik wa sallim. Subhana rabbika rabbil 'izzati 'amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillah.